Good evening. This is Rabbi Maevsky. Tonight's shiur is wishing a refuah shleima to Yehuda Eitan ben Brocha Avigail. This week is another big Shabbos, actually. Vayakol Pekudei in Parshas HaChodesh is almost exactly as long as Matos Masei, so it's a rather long laning. But of course, it's a very meaningful laning. And Parshas HaChodesh not being the least of all. But in Vayakol Pekudei, there are a lot of, not to say subliminal messages, but God chooses his words carefully, as we keep repeating every week. And we have Vayakel, and of course, after Vayakel is right away Mitzvos Shabbos. So when we know that Vayakel was the one of the things that they read, it's Machlokas in the Gemara, but it's one of the things they wrote that they read, the Kohen, the Melech read from the laning on whenever it says Vayakel, he gathered all the things. So at next to the last mitzvah in the Torah, it's to gather everybody and hear the king read and Vayakel. And then, of course, we're talking about the Mishkan, and the Mishkan being built to be mechaper on the Egel. And therefore, the next parasha begins Eile Pekudei. And it's interesting, the choice of words once again, Pekudei, because Pekudei, if you know, going back to in Parshas Kisitsa, it went after the Maisa Egel, God says to Moshe, Ki Eilech Malachi Lefonecha, and then he says, very simply, V'yom Pachti Ufokarati Aleichem Chatosom. And that is the reference to Eile Pekudei. This is what you're doing to alleviate the situation. Can you follow instructions without deviating at all, without deviating anything at all? And this is what's very interesting, and that we'll see what happens over here. The parasha begins again. It mentions about Kol Nediv Lev, which is very interesting for another particular reason. We mentioned, of course, God told Moshe Kol Nediv Lev at the beginning of Parshas Truma, and now that Moshe has to give over these instructions, these very specific instructions to Klal Yisrael himself, and choose or oversee who is going to be able to do the actual work necessary, because we don't know, we don't want people just to volunteer to do work who are not experts in their field. Where would they have become experts? Well, they might have been in Mitzrayim, that they did certain work for the Mitzrayim, and they might have certain artistic talents that would give them the ability to do all these things. But in addition to that, God is going to help them. He's going to give them the El Kol Ish Chacham Lev. If you have the desire, the pure, if you're pure of heart and really want to do your work, God helps those who help themselves, and that's what he wants to do. But in general, as well, there's another factor involved over here. There are so many miracles in the Mishkan that we can't even enumerate them. And we'll see, for instance, why that is so important. God wants to see the ability of Jews to follow instructions regardless of whether they seemingly make sense or not. And so we begin Kol Nediv Lev, everybody who wants to give. There's an expression right after that, and it says, Vayovohu Anoshim Al Anoshim. And what does that mean exactly? And there's a reference there that the implication of that phrase means that the Noshim, were the women, were the chief people involved in the Mishkan, that God chose them and Moshe chose them to be the chief people, the architects of many things in the Mishkan. And Vayavohu Anoshim, but the men helped out. In other words, if, like when your wife says, can you help me with do something, they are in charge, they have the responsibility of doing the work, and then the man would help them out. And that's what the implication of this phrase is. And why would that be in particular? Because generally speaking, we know it normally in this, of course, in the course of the Torah with the Taryag Mitzvos, it would normally be the other way around, and we would think that since the Mishkan had to be Mechaper on the Egel, this would be their chief job, would be for them to be in charge And certainly, of course, Eliyahu and Bezalel were in charge, but nevertheless, the women took the mainstream of the job in terms of what Hashem was happy for them to do it, and that is part of what Kol Nediv Lev is. When people are asked to do something or give to a cause, generally speaking, there are various kinds of people who give. There are those people who are just very generous, and they give to all, you know, you come to them for a donation, and they're willing to give basically to anything without really looking or caring in particular what they're giving for. And then there are people who give because they have an agenda. They want to accomplish something. They need a favor. They need something to be done. And then there are those people who are giving. They're just giving totally without anything in return. They believe in the cause and want to give of themselves and give. And the difference here between the men and the women, if the Mishkan was being built to be mechaper for the Egel, the men all had an agenda because they were complicit in giving when Moshe, when Aaron says, Parku nizmei ha-zahav, v'yozlein ha-sheichem, v'yozlein b'neichem uv'noseichem. So the women did not give their jewelry, whereas the men contributed everything that they had. And so they were the ones who were guilty of the main fashioning of the egel, whereas the women were not. The women refused to give their jewelry because they had wanted to have no part in the egel. Therefore, the men had an agenda. They needed something in return. They gave because they felt this is how they would be expiated for their sin of the egel, whereas the women had no need to give because they were not involved in the egel at all. So any work that they did, any work that they contributed was just simply for the greater good. And where do we see that in particular when we get around to building the Beis HaMikdash? When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, was God particularly happy with the actual binyan as it came to its fruition? And the answer is a firm no. And we see that in Navi when we read it. What was the reason that we say here in the Mishkan, it said Kol Nediv Lev? Was the Mishkan built with Kol Nediv Lev? Absolutely not. God was not happy with the conscription of all the people that were told that they had to build the Beis HaMikdash. Not everybody was so involved and wanted to be. It wasn't a willing workforce. And in fact, they went to outside labor as well from non-Jews. And where do we see that in the end? When the Mishkan came to its fruition, when it was finally built, and they wanted to finally have the grand opening, and Shlomo said, let's open the doors, and the doors did not open. And he pleaded with God to let them open, and it did not happen until he said, Bavur David Avdecha. And only in the name and the zchus, in the merit of David HaMelech, did the doors finally open, as it says in Navi. And so we see that what was the reason for God doing that? Because the people were not Kol Nediv Lev. And the Mishkan was done the Kol Nediv Lev. But it's obviously more than that, because at the very end we see something very interesting. When Moshe comes at the end to inspect all the work of the Mishkan, it says, Vayivarech Osam Moshe. Moshe inspected every facet of the building, and he gave them his firm blessing. And then, on to top it all off, he goes to inspect each particular thing that the Mishkan had been done, the Shulchan, the Menorah. He's inspecting each, particularly they were divided up into groups. There was a team of people building the Shulchan, building the Adonim, professioning weaving, making the curtains, various things. There were teams of people doing everything that was necessary to do for the Mishkan. And he went around, and we see at the end of the parasha, I believe it's approximately 13 times, when the Moshe inspects it individually and says, this team, Kasher Tzivu Hashem Es Moshe, they did everything as exactly commanded to do, which was a wonderful thing. Certainly they were able to follow instructions. But what was so great about following instructions? And the answer is very simple. As I mentioned earlier on, there were so many miracles in the building of the Mishkan. And for instance, there are a couple of things that really stand out. The dimensions of the Mishkan on to a layman, to an architect, make no sense. The menorah was an impossible task to be able to see. It was only through a hologram that Moshe was able to visualize it, to see it himself, to know how to have it done. How it was fashioned from one huge chunk of gold is incredible to think that it could even possibly done, not by Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or any of the greatest sculptors around. It would certainly seem an impossible task for all the intricacies that were necessary. But more than that, the Aron, the space for the Aron and the dimensions of the Aron could not possibly fit through the door that they had to bring it into. It was the same dimensions, the width, and we know when we're building a home and we try to find out, you want to bring in furniture, and sometimes the furniture will not fit through. Either they take a door off or they have to hoist it up through a top floor, through a big bay window, because it just won't get through the door, and you do something different. And if the people, the architects, who are looking at the plans, and they see it, and they'll say, please, Moshe or Bezalel, this doesn't make any sense. How can I build an opening and then try to get an aron that's exactly the same size as the width of the opening? It's not possible to go through. It can't be. Something has to be wrong, and I want to change the dimensions. Either I have to make the opening to the Kodesh Kodashim larger, or I have to make the dimensions of the aron smaller. These things just do not compute. The length and the dimensions of the outer side of the Aron, it says how many Adonim there would be and how many space they are. It's off by five. If it says 20 and there's five in between each one, it's 100, but it just doesn't work out. There's five almost missing in the computation of the dimensions of what we're trying to do. And yet, nobody raised their hand and said, this is impossible. Somebody is doing it wrong. Perhaps, Moshe, you got the message wrong. Perhaps, Bezalel, you're not doing it correctly. But they just followed. And Moshe gives them the blessing because this was part of the test. Can you follow instructions without questions? If the requests are being made by God, God knows exactly what he's doing. And why would that be? Because what was the purpose of the Mishkan? Of course, we say the Mishkan was there to be mitzamtzem, to limit the space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs, and the Mishkan itself was being built as a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does God, what is different about God than us? God created time and space and light for human beings. God doesn't need any of these things in time and space, especially we can see the space. It has no relevance to God. The fact that the Aron goes through the opening is immaterial. It doesn't seem to be, but for God, these things totally don't mean anything because he transcends, God transcends all time and space. So all the dimensions of the Mishkan are immaterial, and the fact that they followed it, just even though it did not make any sense to them whatsoever, is why Vayivarech Osam Moshe. Not only have you completed the task, but I didn't have anybody raising their hand and saying somebody made a terrible mistake. We're going over the specs and we're going over the plans, and there are obvious errors here that just cannot be. And God says, can you transcend, can you reach the level where you will just do what you're told? Because if you can't, then the Torah will never make sense to you because there are so many things that don't make any sense. And what I need you to do is fulfill every mitzvah without question. We have so many rules that we can't fathom the basic reason for it. We speculate, but we do not know really why so many of the mitzvos, even the ones that we think we understand to some degree, we probably do not. And these are the very important things of Vayakel Pekudei. And that's why at the end, it's chazak, chazak, v'nischazek. At this point, we bring the end of Shemos because they needed the chizuk. It was finished. The Mishkan was finished and totally completed on, actually would be, the dating would be, once again, just like the Tzava we read by Moshe's Yartzeit that week, that it comes out on, generally speaking. The same thing with Vayakol Pekudei. If you take a look, what date was the Mishkan finished and ready for Moshe to start putting it up and take it down for that final week? The celebration of the opening of the Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which makes Chof Gimel the date of completion of the Mishkan, which is in a couple of days, I believe on Thursday would be Chof Gimel Adar. And it's the same thing that comes out this week. And this is something we bear in mind. Chazal, when they made the calendar, we could always ask ourselves, it would seem to be logical that when would it be the right time if we're planning to make the whole Chumash over the course of a year, and do it over the course of 1 year, do all 54 sedras, then it would seem to me make sense to start on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year. But we don't start until Simchas Torah, and they had to plan it out where some of these sedras would be accordingly to the way we need them to fall out on the calendar. This is once again the brilliance of so many things. We can't always ask a question. There are so many questions that don't have an answer. Sometimes we get good speculation, and that's a wonderful thing. If it helps us do it, that's wonderful. But we have to know some things are just very simply either unfathomable or seemingly impossible, but they're only impossible from the human frame of reference. When God tells us to do something, we're not dealing with human logic. We're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's logic. And that is something that's very difficult to fathom. So this week, on top of everything, we read HaChodesh HaZelochem. You finish the Mishkan, and now you're ready to begin in a few days when we finish inaugurating the Mishkan on Chodesh Nisan. Life begins anew. I'll forgive you or push aside the Chet HaEgel, but remember Pekudei, remember Uvion Pokti Ufakarati Aleichem. You have to continue working on fulfilling the mitzvot of the Torah without question. Have a good evening. May we all be Zocha to see the Gula Shalema. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.